Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Dean Olmsted, Senior Vice President, Avanade Canada. Dean is responsible for all Avanade's business in Canada. Dean, you bring a substantive history of significant and considerable international contribution in innovation and senior executive leadership to this interview. We are indeed fortunate that you're come in to share your many deep experiences with the audience.
Well, Steve, thank you. I'm excited to be in Canada and helping our clients drive innovation. And thanks also for spending the time with me today.
Dean, I was just looking over your considerable background, history of success. So can you profile your key roles throughout your career and important findings that you wish to share with, about your challenges and your successes?
Well, Steve, I've been in consulting for over 24 years with a vast array of customers and a vast array of technologies. You know, it's always been very rewarding for me to see our customers become successful. My main goal whenever I'm with a customer is to get them recognized for the work that we are doing together. And I always feel consultants need to be in the background. You know, the challenges I've seen, they're really constant, and they're really due to an ever-changing marketplace and the demand the business has for technology solutions. And when you couple that with the rapidly changing technology roadmap, you know, anyone in IT really needs to embrace change to be successful.
From your current role, what do you hope to achieve and how will you bring this about and bring value to your stakeholders?
You know, Avanade brings value by really delivering results. And so I'm trying to bring a broader history and context to helping our customers solve complex business problems. Technology alone really isn't enough. You know, we need to bring solutions that are tied to business outcomes that the business is driving, and I'm trying to bring from my history and the breadth that Avanade has globally, bring that to Canada to solve some localized problems that our customers are facing.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking to an employee of yours. Her name is Lynette Wallach, and in fact, I did an interview with her earlier last year, and she talked about the amazing sort of possibilities within the marketplace, and now she's working for Avanade. She says it's probably one of the best companies she's ever been with. Just the tremendous opportunity, the learning resources, the fact that you're very customer centric. She just finds that such an encouraging environment. So I want to take sort of a spin on that. So what specific qualities and attributes make for career success in companies like Avanade or Accenture or Microsoft?
You know, the simple answer, and you kind of brought it up, is really being focused on the customer. You know, whenever you put the customer first, good things are going to happen to you as a consultant in your career, and it's going to, good things are going to happen to the customer, good things are going to happen, you know, for the company you're with. So it's really about putting the customer first. I think that, you know, Avanade has a tremendous history being a joint venture from Accenture and Microsoft. So we have very, I would say unique roots. Microsoft, we get this phenomenal training and access to the product teams and understanding their roadmaps and staying on the forefront. I think from Accenture, we really get that history of focusing on the customer and doing what's right for the customer. And then that innovative, combining the two, what I think Avanade does is the innovative use of technology to really solve these business problems our customers are facing.
I guess you also have access to tremendous resources. Just a few weeks ago, I was talking to Kishore Swaminathan, the chief scientist for Accenture, and he's just an amazing fellow. And he's just talking about all the research that's occurring, and I guess that all of that is brought into Avanade as well?
It is. I mean, our focus is on the Microsoft technology, but we work with Accenture on a day-to-day basis with, I would say half of our customers, or slightly more than half, are working with Accenture, and so we're definitely utilizing the latest and greatest research and work that they've done.
You know, Dean, I'm really excited about this global survey that's being conducted by Avanade and the fact that you're willing to speak on this survey, especially with your just amazing background. So let's talk more about that. For example, what was the purpose of the survey?
Well, so 3 years ago, we were among the first to conduct market research that quantified the real and perceived business value of cloud computing as emerging technology. So we've been doing these types of research studies by a third party on, new and recent trends. And so, as we've been talking to our customers, we've been noticing this trend that data, access to data, and access to the right information to make business decisions has been a problem. So by recognizing something we were seeing in our customers on a regular basis, we decided to do a more formal study to really understand what was behind it.
So what are the real business challenges created by this thing called big data?
Well, with the large influx of data, it can be challenging to decipher what information is important, what is not when making business decisions. You know, executives want to make informed decisions. They need the latest and greatest information to make this happen. And there's a constant feeling that there's always more useful and relevant information out there. And I consider that this can really cause almost a high anxiety amongst business and IT executives. And so that's really the challenge. The challenge is they know the data's out there. They need to make informed decisions to form a competitive advantage for their company. And yet they know the data's out there. They also know at the same time they're not able to get it within their company. And that's really the business challenge.
So can you talk more about data addiction amongst executives?
Yeah, so our survey found that 65% of C-level executives and IT decision makers, you know, report that they're overwhelmed with the amount of data that their company manages. However, they also said that they want this data faster and they want more of it. So I really think that it's almost coming from all forms. It's coming from consumers in the marketplace that have, you know, mobile devices, instant access to all sorts of information. It's also about every employee, customer, partner that a company has is creating data. That can be a spreadsheet. That can be core transactional data. It can be data that's in an email, that's in a text, that's in an IM conversation. Whatever, all that data is important. And executives know it exists, and they're trying to get at it, and they're trying, again, to make, you know, informed, proactive business decisions, and they need the latest information to do that.
So what kinds of data are important for executives in their strategic decision-making, and why is this so?
You know, again, I would say that the types of data it's all over the map. I'll just reiterate that everyone in an organization is now creating business data, where I think historically, you know, that type of data was maybe came from finance or marketing or just, you know, certain organizations within a company, and so it was bounded. And I think now you almost have an unbounded source of data, and with the unbounded source, you know, executives are, one, wondering where is the latest and greatest information to help them. The other key item that we found is that executives are also very worried about security. If everyone has access to this data, if everyone is, you know, potentially sharing this data, whether they know it's critical or not, security becomes another big concern.
So can you then profile the big data disconnect?
Yeah, so really the disconnect is almost quite simple, and that is that companies recognize they need more of the data faster, and yet at the same time they realize what's happening today isn't enough. You know, and to really, you know, bridge that disconnect, what we find is that companies will benefit from really creating what I would call a data culture, where they're linking people, processes, and technology to manage this big data in a holistic way that really forces a change in people's, I would call it their data lifestyle. You know, and so from that perspective, there's really four things they need to do. Now, they need to identify where the data is coming from and who's creating it. You know, then once they've done that, need to create appropriate filters, because not all that data is important. You need to be able to filter it, catalog, sort it, do all sorts of types of things there to get the information that's truly important. You know, then you need to come up with a distribution mechanism. You know, not everyone needs all of that key information, right? Just certain managers, certain executives, and of course, certain things can be sent to all employees. You know, and then finally, you need to apply the insights you gain from looking at the core information to really create business value.
Now, are there any additional thoughts that you want to share on data?
You know, one of the overriding aspects of big data is that search is a key component of it. Because of the quantities of data, the unique data stores that are all over a business enterprise, you know, search is key. I mean, I find search an interesting term because I really prefer to call it find, because that's really what you want to do is find the information, not just search. And so that's really kind of an overarching theme that both is from a business perspective, and then also there's, of course, you know, technology solutions around search that can really help with this big data problem.
Well, Dean, now we're going to take a sort of a slightly different direction in this interview, in that I want to talk about your thoughts on computing as a recognized profession like medicine and law, with demonstrated professional development, adherence to a code of ethics, globally recognized credentials.
Well, I would completely agree. I mean, I think that especially as computing evolves, because it's not going to just be about technology, right? As we talked about, it's a whole process. It's interacting with the business, people, and understanding how, you know, a company will benefit from computing, access to data, et cetera. And I would say that, you know, it's really going to take professionals in that organization. So I would completely agree with you.
You know, Dean, I look at your background, and you spent time as a partner in the communications and high-tech industry group for Accenture, and you also helped we were sort of one of the key drivers behind the mobility lab. So I'm going to sort of ask you to look in your crystal ball. What do you think are your top predictions for future trends and their implications and opportunities?
Well, I would say one trend is the one that we're starting right now is around cloud computing. I would say that it's just going to take on a broader life, especially from an enterprise perspective. I mean, consumers are buying into the cloud very quickly. I think it's easier for them to grasp than it is for companies to really trust that for their business critical applications to reside in the cloud. So that would be one. I mean, another trend that's continuing is just the proliferation of devices. I mean, I did spend time about 8 years ago very focused on enterprise mobile applications and what it can mean. Enterprise, and I think that 8-10 years ago, there was great insight into what mobility could bring, but the networks weren't there, devices weren't there. So now we're having this proliferation of devices, and the trend that I think is happening, or the problem is that what do business executives do with that? I mean, they, you know, in the past, you know, they dictated what kind of laptop or device you have, and I think companies are losing control of that. So they need to address the security measures. They need to address just what happens when any one of their employees are out doing anything in the world with their device and the implications from that.
Dean, you've got this remarkable history in terms of all the executive positions you've held, and I'm thinking if you were going to mentor somebody to take on more high-level executive roles, really to sort of follow and model your success, what would be your recommendations?
So, you know, the recommendation I'd say is to, to always broaden your horizons. I think that, you know, anyone that's at any kind of executive, and I would even say manager level, you needs to have a broad set of experiences. You know, I mean, again, I mean, being there's nothing that can take the place of being at a customer site, and that customer focus, learning about, you know, a set of customers, problems, technology, business issues. You know, that's really where it starts. You know, then I think you need to broaden, you know, managing people, managing areas, you know, obviously at some point, you know, owning a piece of the business and understanding what it really means to own a P&L. You know, really helps you understand the difficult decisions that need to be made in tough times, along with how best to rally the troops and enjoy success in the good times.
Now, in all of your journeys and travel, you must come across some really interesting stories. Are you able to share one, maybe something that's surprising, unexpected, or amazing from your work?
Yeah, I would say, one that comes to mind is just the impact that different people's strategies can have on your own particular life, your own particular story. I mean, I was working for a company that had a very strong strategic direction, at least all of us that were working on a very large project, several hundred people, you know, lots of business folks, lots of technology folks, and we were driving down a very strong strategy. Our project was very successful, and we thought we were, you know, making progress and on the right road. And there's always someone at the very top that may have a different agenda or something may come out of the blue. And what happened in this case, although we were tracking down a great strategic direction, the company was bought. And no one saw that coming. And then, you know, suddenly there was a whole new strategic direction in place. And, you know, our particular project was shut down. And, you know, those of us on the ground didn't necessarily agree with it. However, when you look at it from the eyes of this new business stakeholder, this new owner, they had a whole new strategy and a whole new direction. And I think the lesson, you know, that I took away is that, you know, there are many different ways to get to an end result. A lot of different executives have different strategic direction and objectives. And I think, you know, we in the IT world need to be, you know, ready to go with the flow, ready to change almost on a moment's notice based on those changing strategic priorities, and yet still add the business value that we need to provide from a technology perspective.
Now, Dean, if we were to sort of flip the sort of the process here, and if you were doing this interview, what kinds of questions would you ask, and then what would be your answers?
Oh, you know, I have to ask the questions and answer them at the same time. That's not really flipping the table there, Steve. You know, I think that, again, I mean, I like to ask, you know, what are you seeing customers' problems be? I mean, clearly here we're talking about big data and this data deluge, but I always like to ask, you know, what is on the top of your customers' minds? What is keeping them awake? What are their, you know, in their eyes, their strategic problems that they need solved? I mean, as a consultant, you know, getting that information from a customer is, you know, invaluable. I mean, because that's ultimately where, you know, we can, you know, identify solutions and work together, you know, to promote that business value. So, you know, I mean, that's what I like to get from any customer I can ever have the opportunity to talk to.
If from a sort of an Avanade standpoint, I guess you're experiencing growth right now. The IT sector is revitalizing. What are your sort of strategies for growing Avanade to the next level here in Canada?
So here in Canada, you know, we have started, so our fiscal year just started a couple months ago, and we're really getting back to growth after a couple flat years. You know, and it really gets back to some core, I'd say there's about three core components. One is, as I just stated, really listening to our customers. I mean, what are their business problems? And how can we bring Microsoft technology to solve those? I mean, that's clearly number one. You know, number two is then on the flip side, understanding the latest and greatest technologies from Microsoft and ensuring that we have solutions, ensuring that we have, you know, the expertise that we're known for, you know, the right people trained up on the absolute latest technologies so that we can bring new ideas to our customers. So, we need to listen to them and identify how we can work together, and then we need to be proactive in bringing solutions to the marketplace at the same time.
Well, I know that when I talk to some of your employees throughout the country, they say you really have the richest resourced environment that they've ever worked in, and I know that you have some of the top-ranking professionals in the country, so I guess it's a win-win for everybody.
It is a win-win, and again, I think when we put, I say we put customers first, and then we put our people second, and that's what is a great success for any company.
Well, Dean, we're at the end of this interview, and I just want to thank you for coming in today to do this interview. We will continue to follow your significant global and historical contributions, and I know your schedule is very tight. In fact, you're just about to go to another engagement, so again, thank you for coming in.
Hey, Steve, thank you very much. I enjoyed our conversation, and I'd love to speak again sometime in the future, and hopefully we can talk about even more success.
Well, we'll really look forward to that, so thank you. And I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Dean Olmsted, Senior Vice President, Avanade Canada. Dean is responsible for all Avanade's business in Canada.